Hello there. This is episode 208 of A Sword of Star Wars podcast, and today we'll be diving into the first half of the Ahsoka series. I brought my old pal and Star Wars fan, Michael Peachy, to join in the conversation and see how we feel so far about the new series and my favorite Star Wars character. So, let's do it.
This is A Sword of Star Wars podcast.
This is where the fun begins.
Wrap it up, fuzzball.
I feel the force.
Welcome back to A Sword of Star Wars podcast, a podcast that's sort about Star Wars and sort about everything else, and it is a bonus episode with Michael MFT Peachy. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, and because you're back, we know Disney has a new series.
Disney has a new Star Wars series.
Yes.
That we have to talk about.
Yes. So we're going to talk about Ahsoka.
Yes.
It's been a couple weeks. Way back when we used to do it weekly, but
too much.
Yeah. We're just...
Yeah. We're too busy.
Too busy people.
Kids and jobs and all that jazz.
So we will split it into the first and second halves of the series. And we're going to do... This is Tuesday night, so we're going to talk about the previous four episodes, and then we're going to watch the new episode.
Yeah.
But you listeners have to wait another month till they hear about that one. Yeah. So, all right. So let's kind of start at the beginning. All right. Mm-hmm. There is an opening crawl.
There is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let me preface this a little bit more. Okay. Our history of Ahsoka. I've only watched her in Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I watched the first two seasons of Rebels.
Yeah.
And in that first two seasons, they find out that Fulcrum is Ahsoka, and Ahsoka is a Jedi, ex-Jedi, whatever.
Yeah.
I think her and Vader might meet once, maybe, in the first two seasons, but mm-hmm. I can't really remember. How much did you watch?
Like one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking you watched all of it.
If you've listened to these ones before, you'll know that I'm always harping that people need to watch the Clone Wars. And so I have to eat my words now and admit I have not watched Rebels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I probably need to go do that.
So going into it, were you worried about like not understanding stuff because you hadn't seen Rebels?
Yes and no. I knew that they're not going to like go like super deep, but I did like get the feeling as I was watching episodes, especially the first several where they're setting everything up, mm-hmm. that like if I had watched Rebels, I would understand more.
Right.
Yeah. So there was that feeling, but I don't think it detracted.
Yeah.
Whatever that word is. Anything away from the experience per se.
So you felt like, okay. Yeah. I was worried going into it, not having watched all four seasons. I knew what had happened more or less in the last episode mm-hmm. of the series. So I kind of knew, and I knew who the characters were and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm not a huge Rebels fan. So I was a little bit worried that they would rely too much on Rebels, like people knowing what happened in Rebels.
Right.
And after the first episode, I was like, man, like I really should have watched Rebels for this or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm finding out that some of it didn't happen in Rebels that I just assumed happened in Rebels. Mm-hmm. But now we can go, let's go back to the beginning again.
Yeah.
So we had an opening crawl, sort of. It's somewhere between Solo's opening crawl and the actual opening crawl.
Yeah. An actual movie opening crawl.
Right. I forget. Is this one in gold or red?
I think it's red. No, I think it's gold.
Okay. So it's the right color.
But it wasn't
it doesn't crawl.
It just scrolled like up the screen.
Right.
Instead of like going out like away.
Right.
Like the movie crawls do.
And I wonder if they're doing that because they feel like the crawl only goes with like the Star Wars theme. And so they don't want to do a movie without a crawl. They don't want to do a movie with a crawl without a Star Wars theme. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't either.
Strange. But basically, the crawl is talking about how they think that Thrawn is still alive, mm-hmm. and Ahsoka is looking for a map.
Yes.
Yeah. And soon after the series gets started, I actually can't remember what happens first. If we meet Baylan and Shin first, or if Ahsoka finds the map first?
I think they're kind of going on at the same time. I think they're kind of cutting back and forth, because we see them... Where are they? Are they on a Star Destroyer?
Who, Baylan and Shin?
Yeah.
So, you see this huge Republic cruiser.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's
and then you go inside of it, and like they're like, hey, we're getting a message from,
yeah,
you know, it looks like it's a Jedi code, it's an old code, whatever, right. But they're like, yeah, bring them on board, then, yeah. we're only carrying like
this is gonna be it, nothing bad could happen, right. Here,
like, yeah, they know they're carrying someone important, and yet they invite,
right,
what's her name,
yeah, so they come in and then they mess everyone up,
right, but it didn't seem like that was their intention. Like, they came on and he's just like, I don't believe you're Jedi, and he like goes to walk past them.
Yeah, and then he starts getting choked.
Right, and then he, well, they don't choke anybody.
I thought he starts.
He uses the force for like the hand, like the guy goes pulls blaster.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But orange lightsabers.
Orange, are they orange?
Gold?
Yeah, dark. I think yellow. They're red. I think
are
they're.
They?
Yeah, no, I just think the color's off.
I don't think they're red.
You don't think so?
I think they.
You think it's somewhere some blend of. They're because they're not Sith,
right?
Because they don't have the eyes. They're not
right,
but they are. Yeah,
and she's got
similarities and differences.
Right, like she's got the Padawan braid.
Yeah,
obviously he's an ex Jedi.
Yeah,
because he knows Anakin. We find out later, or knew who Anakin mm-hmm. watched yeah. him fall.
Yep.
And they don't act like Sith. They're not like, I feel like Sith would have come out and just started like killing people immediately.
Yeah, they're like a really. Interesting blend
yeah.
in between blend
of, yeah.
and that's probably the point, right?
Like yeah.
that's Dave Filoni trying to tell us something about the Force. And
well, and I feel like yeah. I see a lot of stuff on Twitter like back and forth about like dark Jedi, gray Jedi, fallen Jedi, like what's the right term?
Yeah.
Because between like the expanded universe and the canon, they use different terminology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like it doesn't matter what the actual term is,
yeah.
but basically he's a fallen Jedi. I don't know what Shin is. She's his apprentice. But
she's young, so she.
I mean, she wouldn't
around.
Been,
she wouldn't right. have been around at the, in the Clone Wars,
or even Order 66, after that,
or yeah. 66. So, don't know if he found her.
Yeah.
Or what happened?
Or it's his there. Daughter. Except if he was a Jedi, that probably wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, but if he's a gray Jedi, that
right.
You know, all bets are off there. Yeah, they haven't referred to themselves as anything either.
Right.
That was when
they have a Jedi code. So
yeah.
from when he was a Jedi, maybe I yeah. don't know.
That was one of the. I'm thinking this is going to get more as we go on, but I'm hoping to learn more about his story and
oh, yeah.
have a little more character background for him
because
right now he's a super interesting character, but I don't know you don't know a whole lot much about him.
Right. So. And which is a little disappointing because he is. He has passed away in real
the
life.
Actor.
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just disappointing for the show, but also disappointing right. in real life.
Right.
Because,
we, yeah,
I mean, at the end of the first,
they'll manage that.
Right. At the end of the first episode, it said for our friend Ray.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know who Ray is. I guess I should know. And then, like, I watched the second one. And then later, I'm like, oh, that's Ray. Is Stevenson? I think it's Stevenson.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm like, oh, he died.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Back in May. Yeah. So.
So I'm hoping they'll. Yeah, I'd be interested how they tied to it. I'm hoping to find out more about his story. Maybe some flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, with maybe how
something.
This, yeah.
I don't know. Something to give us some context of how he got to where he is.
Right, right. And he's got a perfect beard. I mean, just like major,
yeah.
major facial hair
good,
envy.
But it's interesting because, like, I was almost said, like, he's a good villain.
Yeah.
But is he a villain? Is he the villain? Like
I feel like he's,
Thrawn's a villain, right?
Right.
And he's like kind of and Morgan villain for sure.
Yeah.
But is I don't know. They've done some pretty messed up stuff, like
right.
and stuff. But like, I don't know. I think there's going to be more that comes out. Like, there's definitely more to him them than
yeah.
we know right now. I think it's going to be a little conflicting, maybe. Like, yeah.
And I know that. At one point, he says that Morgan or Thrawn is paying them for this. So
like mercenaries in a sense.
Right. Basically, they're just force users who work for like yeah, mercenaries.
But he clearly believes in what he's doing based on like what happened in the fourth episode.
Right, right.
Which I guess we'll get to. But
yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, yeah, he's a weird mishmash there.
Right.
Character.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And he has this sweet hallway scene.
Like, yeah, very Vader-esque, right?
Right. I don't know how many excuse me. I don't know how many hallway scenes we're going to get.
We love a good hallway scene.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I could get tired of them.
No,
yeah,
no, they're
yeah.
always great.
Okay.
We should rank the hallway scene sometime in Star Wars. Don't have to do that now, but we could do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, and then I think we skip to the Indiana Jones scene with Ahsoka, where she finds this.
She's like, in the temple thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she can't just like simply like cut a hole to go down into. She has like throw her lightsabers in and twirl them around. And oh, it's so cool.
If you don't if you haven't watched the Clone Wars, you don't know how awesome she is.
Yes.
Yeah. I was gonna use another word, but
yeah,
you don't know how awesome she is. So they have to show something about how awesome she is.
Yeah. So she is, so once she's in there, Ahsoka's in there, she's like leaning into like these pillars and then she's like turning them. Mm-hmm. And I could like hear something. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it the first time I watched it. When I rewatched it, I had my AirPods and watching on my phone.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is that noise? And I literally cranked up as loud as I could go. It's almost like an like you can't tell what they're saying, but there's some voices saying something.
Yeah.
So somehow like she's hearing something, someone saying something, or mm-hmm. and she's turning these pillars.
So it's like hearing them through the Force, maybe? Like sensing where to go.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. That was like a weird, wasn't very Star Wars-y. Like having like old temples and stuff like that. But this
is Star Wars-y though. If you played Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Very Star Wars-y.
Okay. It felt very Indiana Jones-y.
Yeah, it's a mix.
Yeah. Very like the Mummy type of, you know, thing where like, but like that map that she finds is supposed to show where Thrawn is, right? But where she finds it looks like it has been there for centuries, right? Like you have to line up all these things and like dust is like, and like rocks like falling out when she's turning these things and they line up perfectly and it comes up in this like pillar of whatever, coal or whatever, and she like knocks it away and there's the map.
Right.
That's a mixed up Rubik's Cube of where Thrawn is. And like, okay, well Thrawn only disappeared how long ago?
His race is
20 years ago.
What's his race?
I can't pronounce what his race is. I can't,
or species.
Myth.
But they're myth is something.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. But they're like from the way out. Outer rim, like beyond the outer rim, other galaxies. So maybe that was one of his species temples or something.
Okay.
Ancient temples. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Thrawn like knew of this map and knew where this place was and went there. I don't know.
Maybe. And put it in a pile of ash that totally like secured
it. Or maybe it's like an important place to his species. And so he knew that.
But he didn't expect to be transported out there. I haven't seen the end of the Rebels, but it seemed like he didn't expect. But as if we know Thrawn, we know that we don't know what he expects.
Yeah,
because he expects.
The canon is really confusing with him too. Because there's
any of the heir to the Empire stuff actually happen?
That's not right. Yeah, that's not, and that's like what that's the first thing that we read.
Right. Right.
So it gets confusing.
Yeah,
with him.
Some other Clone Wars stuff. Hu Yang is back.
Clone Wars.
Yep. I remembered him from one episode of Clone Wars.
He's in the lightsaber episode,
right? The one where the younglings go. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a couple because then on the way back they get like hijacked by what's his name, the pirate.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably in a couple episodes, but it was nice that they brought a familiar.
He's an awesome droid too.
Yes. Yeah. We find out later.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to the Indiana Jones, we get to see Ahsoka take down like 5 droids.
Yeah.
Like assassin droids.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, oh man, she's like so good with a lightsaber. I mean, it's just like, it's so good to see good lightsaber fights. I felt in all of the sequel trilogy, we didn't really get the lightsaber fights that we love.
Yeah, because we're suckers for the old Republic or the Republic era lightsaber. Very twirly and like theatrical.
The one between Rey and Kylo on the Death Star.
Yeah.
That one I always enjoyed. That's about as close as we got. Yes. But even then, it wasn't like...
It's not the same.
Finesse. You know what I mean?
Definitely more like original trilogy.
Yes. Yeah.
On that.
And then like we just didn't get it at all. And then like even Mando with its Darksaber stuff, like we didn't get it there either. No. And so I feel like now we're finally getting some like Yes,
Kenobi. Good lightsaber. We did. Kenobi.
Yes,
we did.
Yes, 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 yes. We did. Yeah. We did. Oh man, but I recently watched that Kenobi.
It's really good.
I watched like the movie cut.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that scene with Vader and Kenobi at the end, where Kenobi's throwing the rocks.
It's the best.
Oh my word! This is some of the best Star Wars.
That one's gonna get better, I think, with age.
Yeah.
Like Boba Fett, like we were like, yeah, it's fine, but like I'm not gonna rewatch it. Like Kenobi is. I've gone back and watched that fight scene a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yes.
And the end scene when we're gonna go back to our Kenobi. Go listen to our Kenobi recap if you wanna hear our thoughts on that.
And we at some point here, so Ahsoka and Sabine reunite and we get something about them being master and apprentice. Which I don't think happened again,
I didn't know if that happened in Rebels or not. I kind of assumed it did, but
I assumed it did too. And then I was listening to another podcast and they talked about how in that podcast they had watched Rebels because they're good Star Wars fans. and they were talking about how they're mentioning stuff that didn't happen in Rebels. And so I assume that they're talking about this. About the
apprenticing.
Yeah. So okay. What else we got here? We got a hologram from Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
Which that Sabine has this, and Ezra looks like he's like a 35-year-old guy, but Ezra, I mean, he would be old now, but he wouldn't be then. I'm trying to think of actual time difference here. So Rebels ended right before New Hope, and this takes place 6 or 7 years after Empire Return of the Jedi, right? So maybe we're looking at. I think A New Hope to Return of the Jedi is 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at 11 or 12 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was told there'd be no math.
So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been...
I don't know if that... Or was that just the how it got translated from the animation to...
Maybe.
To real life. I don't know.
Ezra just seemed like still a kid at the end of Rebels.
Yeah.
So we get this, and then later on in the episode, something I really liked was this. They're trying to find the map. They know that it's on Lothal. Baylan and Shin are trying to find the map, and they know it's on Lothal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they send Shin to go find it, and she sends out these probe droids.
Yeah.
This probe droid comes back to her. My word. I was like, that was a direct callback. So good.
And that brings up another thing that I just noticed when I was watching the whole show is it's very prequels-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The crawl at the beginning and then the wipes.
Yes. Yeah.
Are very all the wipes that everyone hated that George Lucas threw into the prequels.
Theirs back in the original trilogy too.
Yeah. But I feel like everyone really hated on them in the prequels because there are so many wipes and different kinds. But he brought them back, which, again, as a prequel fan, I really... just felt very prequely the way it was shot.
Right.
So I appreciated that. And that scene, I was like, oh, there it is.
So good.
Probe droids.
Yes.
Just like Darth Maul.
I was talking to another guy at work about it, about the end of the first episode, and talk about how that looked like Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah, right before Darth Maul rides out off on his speeder thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, you mean Bloodfin? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, yeah, his speeder is named Bloodfin. And he's like, why would you know that? I was like, I don't know. I know that. But
are you even a real Star Wars fan if you don't know that Maul's thing was called Bloodfin?
I don't even know. I think I had a little encyclopedia book of just the Phantom Menace.
That makes sense.
But it was 25 pages and it was a little tiny pocket encyclopedia and just
that's amazing.
One creature was one page and it was tiny and I think I just threw Bloodfin it away.
Was in there.
Yeah, Bloodfin was in there. Yeah. At the end we get this, at the end of episode one, we get this lightsaber fight between Shin and Sabine, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. I knew Sabine had done some lightsaber stuff back in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that
she had the darksaber, right?
She had the darksaber for a little bit. And Kanan taught her how to do some stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she has a lightsaber. I don't know if she made that in Rebels after she gave up the darksaber. I don't know when she got that, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it was cool to see that. I was surprised. I don't know if Shin was just toying with her.
I think she was messing with her.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
that she held on for so long.
Right.
Yeah, I think she wasn't definitely not trying.
Right. I mean, Sabine is still Mandalorian, and I feel Mandalorians can hold their own against Jedi. I mean, Boba Fett and Or I mean, Jango Fett and
Obi-Wan
from Attack of the Clones.
But not having the Force, well, at least that we know of,
right.
Not having as much right. Force sensitivity right. is a huge disadvantage in a lightsaber battle.
Yeah. So that's where episode one ends.
So she, we think she gets stabbed.
Yeah. We think she's dead.
We think she's dead.
I mean, not
we
anymore.
Know she's not.
Yeah. But of course she's not.
Yeah.
What?
They're not going to kill her off in the first episode.
Stabbing means nothing anymore with a lightsaber. Yeah.
You got to get flat cut in half.
Even then.
Even that doesn't mean anything for Darth Maul.
But like.
Except for Qui-Gon. Poor Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He gets stabbed and he's dead.
Yeah. It's disappointing. The whole thing could have been avoided had he lived.
I'm going to chalk it up to medical advancements over the last 40 years.
The BACTA
has allowed Reva and the Grand Inquisitor and now Sabine to survive.
I'll survive. But,
yeah. Doesn't really make sense. So then episode two, we get into Ahsoka's like kind of investigating what happened, how the map got stolen. I thought this was interesting too. It seemed similar to when she was in the cave. She's in Sabine's house and she's like walking around and it's like she's like hearing or picturing or like almost like remembering how events happened, but she wasn't there.
I think she's sensing through the Force kind of past events.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen her do that before though. Like it seems like a skill that you echoes. Know
yeah Force echoes.
Oh, is that what it's called
again?
The first Echo model
gosh Amazon Echo
which was released
Echo.
On January
stop luckily it was only volume 8.
I wonder if that'll come through. That would be amazing. Don't cut that out. That's something actually you hear again, just keep harping on this, in Fallen Jedi.
Yes, I've heard of it.
That's kind of one of Cal's abilities. He can sense like past events and kind of see them in the Force.
Okay.
And hear like what's going on.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. So then we do see what's her name? Morgan gets the map. She opens it up.
Yeah, with her witchcraft.
Right. We find out she's a...
She's a Night Sister.
Night Sister. Yeah. Yep. Which was interesting.
Magic.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, okay, now, if you think about... We think that Palpatine's dead, but he's still alive somewhere. Okay? Right. Balin survived Order 66. Anakin. Why didn't Anakin die in Order 66?
Anakin?
Yeah.
Because he was part of it. Like, he was already...
So, when they say kill the Jedi, they knew not to kill Anakin.
Right, because he swears that, like, before Palpatine says Order 66, Anakin's already sworn his allegiance to him.
Okay. But, like, Order 66 was programmed, you know, way long ago.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it just because he's...
I think it's because...
Not a Jedi?
Well, yeah, he no longer was.
So I wonder sometimes, like, it's convenient that some people don't die or escape. Mm-hmm. Like, Reva escaped Order 66.
Right.
Grogu. What's that?
Grogu.
Grogu escaped Order 66. Balin. Like, I guess Grogu is the only...
Youngling.
Good one. The one that turned out good, quotes, good.
Yeah.
That escaped Order 66 that we know of. Oh, Cal. Wait.
Yeah, Cal Kestis. Yep.
And so it's just like interesting, like, did some of these people, were they allowed to escape? Were they, how many escaped and then were tracked down? That's what we don't kind of get. Like, we know the Inquisitors tracked Jedi down.
Yeah, well, the Inquisitors were Jedi, right?
Right, and that too.
Yeah.
Or Temple Guards or something like that, right?
I think it was both. Yeah. I think some of them were tortured into being Inquisitors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's hard to know how many were out there that did escape and were never tracked down.
Right.
But we just keep seeing them pop up. These new ones escaped Order 66.
Which makes sense. Like, there were so many of them. Like,
right. Spread throughout the galaxy.
Yeah. Like, they're not all... It's not...
Right.
Yeah. So...
Sometimes I wonder if Palpatine let some of them be like, oh, no. They'll be useful later. You know what I mean?
That's definitely
don't
possible.
Don't go kill Balin. We're going to use him later.
That definitely seems like something
don't the Palps would do. Don't kill Morgan when you wipe out all the Night Sisters. Because we're going to use her later.
Yeah. I wonder how she survived that.
Yeah. Because I think if I remember right in Clone Wars, he only kills Mother Talzin and, I mean, all the Night Sisters. Mm-hmm. Does he do it or does Dooku do it?
Dooku
does it.
Yeah.
But he, I'm guessing he tells him to. I kind of forget. But like Mother Talzin was pretty powerful. So I'm guessing they were like a threat to him.
Yes.
More or less.
Yep.
And so that's why he wiped him out. But
so Morgan survived.
Yeah.
There's a Night Sister in Fallen Order, Marin.
Oh.
She survives.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, it does seem rather convenient.
Right, right.
But it works. I mean, like, yeah. It makes sense. Like, it's not, I don't feel like they're going too far out there to like make stuff happen. Like,
yeah.
It's very plausible that all these people survived.
And so we go back to Corellia.
Yeah, we see that was fun to see.
Yeah. We see these huge hyperdrives being taken away from Corellia.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see, I don't think we, do we see him before? An Inquisitor? Like a,
yeah, what's his name? I forget.
Morok, something like that.
Yeah, I think we saw him. He's hanging out with Balin and the
earlier on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
And we have some Empire sympathizers.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that
the tour guide guy.
Yeah, like, I wasn't sure.
There's nothing shady going on
right,
here.
Right. Yeah. and then later they get shot at up in that room.
And the lightsaber battle between Morok and Ahsoka.
Yes. Again, so it's him and a droid against her.
Yeah.
And I felt like she could have taken them out pretty easily.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they put up a good fight.
I don't know if she wanted to question him or was hoping to take him in without killing him so she could figure out what was going on.
Yeah. But then the scene, he throws his lightsaber. And then gets on the ship. And then she's just like
watching him, just like,
yeah, she's like barely ducks out of it. Yeah. She should have caught it. That would have been so cool.
It was very cool that
the
dodge.
Yeah. Like she just, she's so cool.
She is so cool.
So I have mixed feelings about Ahsoka, okay?
Really?
So obviously, Ahsoka, I mean, about the person, the character in this series, Ahsoka.
Okay.
I see her fight and she's phenomenal. That's like Ahsoka is an awesome warrior. Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's an awesome warrior. That's a good way to put it. I feel like her personality
is different.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. Like she, she was. I mean, her nickname was Snips because she was all like attitude all the time.
Yeah.
You know, not wanting to listen to people when she was younger.
Yeah,
and I feel like that carried the whole way through, even to season 7 of Clone Wars.
Yeah,
you know, she was like, you know, she was like bad mouthing Maul as they're fighting each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now we have this one. I'm like, okay, but she is like, she's like 50 some, I don't know the math exactly, but she's older now.
Yeah.
So she's like, not as like, she's been around longer. She's,
and a lot has happened. Like she didn't know in Clone Wars that Anakin had survived and was Darth Vader.
Right. She found that out in Rebels.
She found that out in Rebels.
Right.
And I think that probably really messed her up, but I agree what you're saying. Like, and I don't know if some of that's just the actor being different with Rosario Dawson versus, I forget the lady's name.
Ashley,
yeah.
Yeah.
And just the voices being different and just different. And it just doesn't, but I have thought about that. Like, I miss like Clone Wars.
Right.
Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think we can expect it to be the same because it's totally different situations, but I'm like, if she's not fighting, I'm kind of like, like, where's, like, the, like, upbeat Ahsoka that we used to know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not always upbeat, but, like, always, like, once again to the action and stuff like that. But like,
sassy.
Yeah, sassy. Yeah. And even, like, when she's training Sabine, I think it is in this, is it the second episode or third one? I think it's the third one when we do the training.
Yep.
She's, like, very, like, that was, like, the closest to, like, I'm like, oh, we're kind of seeing a little bit of the old Ahsoka come through with, like,
but just the way she talks is just, it's different.
Yeah.
It definitely is different.
Yeah. But yeah, once she fights, I'm like, oh my word, so cool. Yeah.
Same old Ahsoka.
Yeah. So cool. All right. So yeah, she doesn't win against the, she kills the droid, but Morok gets away. Morok
gets away. For now.
And all the time while that's happening, Hera is on the little ghost thing. Not the ghost, it's the little one. Spectre? No. Ghost. So the ghost is their ship, right? The big ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they have a little pod that comes out, I think.
It's an old, like, Trade Federation
ship. Is that what she's in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was. So the ghost has, like, this little ship that comes off of it.
It's a Nemoidian. Like, it's the same kind of shuttle that, oh, crap. I'm a bad Star Wars fan. the Nemoidians in episode one. The head guys. What are their names?
The head guys? Or the Trade Federation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Nemoidians?
Yeah.
They're yeah, like they're, the it's, they're, it's the same. I think it's the same kind of ship.
Oh.
As they fly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
Throwback. She was like trying to keep this big ship hauling this hyperdrive from leaving.
Right. And she's got choppers there with her.
And she throws like a tracker on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool to see him in live action.
But you can understand what he's saying if you really concentrate.
Well, I feel like you just hear like his...
You can hear the cadence and you kind of like hear like the noises kind of line up with words. Right, so you can kind of tell what he's saying, which is kind of cool.
And I don't know. I think in Rebels, Dave Filoni like did the voice of Chopper.
Okay.
I don't know what all that means. It's kind of like Bill Hader did the voice of BB-8. Okay, well, what's that mean? Like, do you say words and then they synthesize it to the point of it sounds like a droid? Or do you just like go, you know what I mean? Like, what is doing the voice?
I'm sure they're synthesizing an actual voice or something. Yeah.
But, and at the end, then, is when Sabine is like, she's ready to train. That's the end of episode two.
Yep.
She gets her armor on. She lays out her armor.
Yep. Cuts her hair.
Yeah. Cuts her hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate those types of scenes.
Why?
Where people cut their hair with a knife, and it's like, whoosh, and it's cut, and then, it's like perfectly layered. And I'm like, she's cutting her hair right behind her neck, and then you see the next scene, it's all like all up against her head.
Yeah.
I'm like, pixie cut. Like, why can't they just show her like starting to cut her hair? And then
she went to the Mandalorian hairstylist. I did the ritual. I need you to fix me up now.
I mean, it's fine that she cut her hair. I don't know why that means anything, but maybe to fit in the helmet. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like,
the helmet doesn't fit with all my hair.
Right. I don't know what the point of the hair cutting was, just to symbolize
a
change.
New stage. Yeah. Or, well, I mean, she's going back to the haircut she had in Rebels, right?
Her haircut in Rebels was more of like a... I would call it a pixie cut, where it's like long in the front. Like it would look like way down in the front.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And this isn't quite like that. Like but that. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I just can't
stand it. We're nitpicking.
There's other movies where like someone will cut their hair like that and it's like looks perfect.
The Last Samurai. Does that happen in Last Samurai? Does Tom Cruise like cut his hair like that? I could be thinking wrong. That could be another movie.
There is. Maybe you're thinking of that Jackie Chan movie with Owen Wilson. They like he's like part of like the Chinese like imperial army or guard or whatever.
Yeah,
and they have like these really long braids, and he gets his braid cut, and it like I'm thinking of it. Tangled. Entangled. Do you remember Tangled?
I've seen. I don't remember.
Someone cuts her hair with a shard of glass. And like her long blonde hair is gone. She's left with a like short cut
bob.
Hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, it's like perfect. I'm like,
yeah. And if you look in real life, if you ever seen TikToks of people trying to cut their braid and it's just
doesn't
like,
work
it turns out awful. It
doesn't work out. And like one slice, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason that hairstylists exist.
There is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So in the third episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's back up. Let's go to. How are you feeling after watching just the first two episodes? They both came out one night. How are you feeling after watching those two?
I was slightly underwhelmed.
Okay.
Mainly because I felt like there was a lot of setup and a lot of background and not a whole lot of moving the story forward.
Yeah.
Like that story forward. And I think in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, it's the first two episodes. Like they have to set stuff up.
Right.
And I'm glad they did some of this stuff because, again, didn't watch Rebels. You need to know some things. But yeah, I think I was slightly underwhelmed, but obviously not so much that I was going to like not be interested in.
Right.
But yeah, I was hoping that, and I think even with the third episode, I was like, we're still kind of like not, you know, is there only eight episodes? There's only eight episodes. Like how's this? And that's a little bit of some of the problem with some of the other Disney, the Star Wars series is that it didn't like the plot didn't move forward well enough. Or over, like it would like start out really slow typically, and then it like a bunch of stuff happens.
Right.
And then it's like done.
Right.
And you're like, well, I wish that either you would have like drawn some of that other stuff out or somehow made it more even. So I was a little bit concerned that that's where this was going. But then the fourth episode kind of took care of that for me. So that's where I was at. I was interested, but just a little bit like,
Right.
I wish this would move faster.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I I was feeling at the end of the second episode that like my fears of not have watching Rebels. I was scared that not watching Rebels was going to hurt my enjoyment of this show. And after the first two episodes, I was like, yes, it definitely is hurting my enjoyment of this show.
Okay.
Like, I knew enough of the characters to know who they were talking about, but I didn't know enough of the situations, mm-hmm. I felt like, to fully grasp.
Right.
And I'm like, and I know Star Wars pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are other people that haven't watched any of Rebels mm-hmm. or even the Clone Wars? Like, yep. I feel like there are people who, like, why would I watch Clone Wars or Bad Batch or Rebels or whatever, it's all animated that's for children, you know?
It's not for children.
It's definitely not for children.
It's definitely not.
All of Star Wars is supposed to be for children.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's not specifically for children.
Yeah.
And like, but people, I feel like, are just like casual, like, oh, well, I really like The Mandalorian, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Ahsoka was in that. Now I can watch some more of Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I feel like they would be totally lost. I don't know, but yep. I feel like they would be.
Well, and that's probably why all these shows start out so slow is, I think, because they're trying to set people up who haven't watched the animated series to like kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
But for some of us who had watched that stuff and kind of know more, it feels like we start really slow.
Yeah.
Right. Dragging.
Right. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I was a little nervous about that going into the third episode, be like, how much
am I missing here?
Right. Yep. Right. I didn't quite feel as bad with that in the third episode. Let's see. I have some stuff from the third episode. I enjoyed the training between mm-hmm. Ahsoka and Sabine. I'm glad that they're like back together.
Yeah.
It
was cool seeing Hu Yang do his like, training stuff.
Yes, that was really cool. Definitely Grievous vibes there.
Yes.
With like the four things with the lightsaber.
How does he not have light? We'll talk about that in the fourth episode.
Right.
Anyways.
Literally, the dude made lightsabers for...
Yeah. How does he not have one?
Yeah. Four.
He clearly knows how to use it too.
Right.
Like he's programmed. Anyways.
Yeah. So that was
maybe
cool.
He does and we haven't seen it yet. Who knows?
And like there's a lot of talk I felt about like the Force in this one.
Yep. Yeah, I like that in this episode a lot.
And yeah. Ahsoka said some things I thought were pretty meaningful. That she's like saying like everybody has the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then which I feel like when people hear that, Sabine's reaction was totally normal. Like, well, then why doesn't everybody just use the Force?
Yeah.
And then Ahsoka's like, well, talent does have a factor.
Attunement. You know,
some people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like talent and like
midichlorians do exist.
Yeah. Like anybody can learn to play the piano, but some people are going to pick it up way faster than other people.
Yeah.
And other people, you know what I mean?
So, naturally gifted.
Yeah. Right.
And the old Jedi Order would have only looked for people who were particularly attuned.
Right. Right.
Or had high midichlorian counts.
Right.
You know,
that came in. Yeah.
Even if everyone could get in touch with it, they were only focusing on that.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, it was nice to see she puts a mask on her, like very like Luke-esque, you know, from A New Hope.
Yep.
And she doesn't like shoot her with lasers or anything, but she does like the like the shoulder stick, tapping and the stick stuff, which was actually pretty good because we know that Sabine is a good fighter.
Yeah.
She's Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Rebels, you know that she can
handle
use a lightsaber.
Yep.
And so it was interesting to see her, whether it's her instincts or whether it's the Force or a combination.
Mm-hmm.
She is starting to like know when to swing and defend herself and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think she had the cup thing where she's trying to move
the
cup.
Right. We've all done that.
And we've all been there. I think that'll come back, I'm sure. I was half expecting when she was in some sticky situations for her to like do that and for it to work. But
And we see that in 4 when she tries to episode 4.
Yeah.
But we'll stick with 3 for now. But
so yeah, I like the talk about the Force and kind of the more philosophical side again. Very Dave Filoni esque. So I appreciated that.
And Ahsoka says later it's her and Hu Yang.
Oh yeah, I did appreciate Hu Yang is kind of like
have the sounds come out of my mouth correctly.
Hu Yang is that
Yang.
Okay?
Yeah,
like he's kind of taken like his program is like the Republic era, like Jedi.
Right.
So he's like kind of like the antagonist, like being like you're nuts, like
right. He's like
she can't sense the Force,
right? Yeah. Right.
Like So that was a kind of interesting dynamic.
And so him and Ahsoka are talking and. He says something about like she wouldn't make a good Jedi. Yeah. Like Sabine says something like, I wouldn't make a good Jedi. And Hu Yang is like, yeah, she's right.
She's right.
Yeah. And Ahsoka's like, I don't need her to be a Jedi. I just need her to be who she is. Mm-hmm. And like, so she's training her with that in mind. She doesn't expect her.
She doesn't expect her to be her.
Be Anakin or Obi-Wan or whoever. Yeah. She just expects her to be Sabine that can use as much force as she has. Right. So
yeah, that was cool. I like that.
And yeah, there's something else in there that I thought was cool. But yeah, I think that's when Sabine's trying to move the cup with her.
Yep.
Oh, but this was the space episode. This was the one where they're flying and they follow the tracker.
Oh, yeah. To space battle.
Tallis?
No. I forget the name of it.
I forget something.
Where they're like building the
hyperspace ring. Yeah. And they get fired upon.
Uh-huh. There's a cool space battle.
Right. Their ship is disengaged. And Ahsoka goes out on the hull of the ship.
She was in a suit, right?
She was in a suit.
Okay.
With...
I thought they were going to pull... I thought she was going to pull Leia.
Oh, yeah. I think... I've heard that several times. And I think people were like afraid that she was going to...
Yeah.
But she was literally like... Not flailing, but she was like just out in space at one point. Right. Like she's like, come get me. Yeah. Like, I mean, like she got off the hull at some point.
Right. Yeah.
And she came, so I appreciated back. That. Yeah, she didn't was at least a fly back. Realistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was cool. I liked, I both liked that and I liked the ships, like the bad guy ships.
Yeah. They looked real cool.
They were like World War II meets like
the whole thing was racer. Very World War II.
Yeah, it was just like
even like Ahsoka's ship with like the rear, like the tail gunner on the rear.
Right.
Very World War II-esque.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, Ahsoka like flipping in space and cutting ships and in half and
doing
stuff.
Ahsoka things.
Unlucky for them, the two ships left are Morok's and Shin's.
Yeah.
But. So
imagine that. I wonder how that happened.
But then their ship crashes into the planet. Ahsoka's ship crashes into the planet.
Yep.
And that's the end of that episode.
Yep. So now they're on where the map is.
Yeah. I guess they know that the map's there. Yeah. So they crash land on the planet. And
they don't crash land, they just land.
Well, they do land. I guess they were able to make the ship fly.
Yeah, they got it up and running again.
Oh,
and
what's his name? Came back. Hu Yang came back just in time to.
And they got it landed. Yeah. They didn't crash.
Yeah. But like they don't have shields.
Yeah.
They don't have. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in bad shape.
So jump to episode 4, which by far has been the best episode. Definitely.
100%.
3 was okay. The space jumping, I was like, okay. Like it doesn't take me out of the story.
No.
The ships were really cool, I thought. Mm-hmm. And the training I really liked. Yep. And like the talk about the Force I really liked.
Yeah. But again, not really moving the story itself forward.
Right. Except now they're in proximity to where the map is.
Right.
That Sabine never should have taken away from Ahsoka in the first place.
Yeah.
But that's how these stories are made. So so now Ahsoka is debating what to do. Hu Yang is trying to get this ship back in order.
Yeah.
Several times it was mentioned by Hu Yang that the two need to stay together.
Stay together. Yeah. Yep.
And what happens later?
Yeah, they split up.
They split up. Like, why? Like, so later we get this great fight between Sabine and Shin and
Morok
and Ahsoka.
Yeah. And Hu Yang handling his own back of the ship.
Yes, that's right.
He was kicking butt. I really expected him to pull a lightsaber out. I thought for sure he was going to. But
yeah.
He's just, doing hand-to-hand stuff and holding his own. But
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. He did get beat up a bit, but...
He did, but he was like, he clearly could handle himself, which was awesome.
So Ahsoka has two lightsaber fights in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in neither one does she use double both blades. Her lightsabers.
Yep, I noticed that too.
I don't know, strange.
I didn't know if that was like... I don't know why she... Or she was wanting to use a different form for a different opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why she didn't use both. It was strange. I noticed that too. I thought that was weird.
And so while this is happening, they're like finalizing the location of Thrawn with this, I don't know if it's magic or if it's technology or what it is, but somehow.
I think you activated it with the Force or magic, which is a form of the Force. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was very cool looking though.
Yeah, it was cool. A little strange. Like I was trying to understand how all that worked, but Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Doesn't really matter. Yeah. So they're like basically loading the location of Thrawn. And this whole time, Ahsoka and Sabine and Hera and everybody just assumes that Ezra is still alive with Thrawn because they left together.
Right.
With the Purgils.
Yeah.
Were they in the space whales? They were in the last episode. Yeah.
Was that
episode
last
three?
Yeah. That's how they kind of how they got away. How they got away.
Yeah. I'm sure that Rebels fans were ecstatic to see the Purgils.
Yeah. See, that's one I missed because I didn't. I only knew that once I watched Star Wars Explains, like recap or review or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yep, I missed that. I didn't know.
I got far enough in Rebels where they came across the Purgils. I know that Ezra could kind of feel them. I don't think he could control them, but he has something with animals that he can I don't know if he feels their emotions or can control their emotions or something. Mm-hmm. But basically, he could communicate with the Purgils from their ship to the Purgils.
Okay.
And they can find out that they can fly through hyperspace.
Yes.
Purgils can.
Right.
And in one of these episodes, we find out that that's how they know where Thrawn is or how they are going to get to Thrawn or get back from Thrawn. Or they're traveling through Purgil
hyperspace
lanes, whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we have these fights, and Sabine and Shin go at it again, and they do pretty well against each other. Mm-hmm. Ahsoka and Marak, I mean, she kind of lets him go for a little bit, and then she's like, all right, that's enough of this. I felt one.
Yeah.
And then and he
turns into dust.
Right.
Which was weird. I don't know why.
So I wondered that because I'm there was so much talk about who this person was.
Yeah.
And then why does he, and I found something online. Was it Star Wars Theory? Or somebody said that they noted that when Savage Opress was killed by Palpatine, he went back, all this green brown dust came out of him and he went back to his normal self. And so somebody thought that that was
maybe what happened.
Marak wasn't even a person really, because when you hear him talk or hear them talk, it was a robotic voice.
Yeah.
And then when they get killed, they just
maybe Baylan and them are somehow,
I wondered if
holding him
what's space? Her name, Morgan, just brought back to life somebody, and or they she somehow made this be a person.
That's interesting,
but not a real person.
Right
And then, Ahsoka, when she defeats him, doesn't go and help Sabine out, which I feel like should be the right thing.
Doesn't Sabine tell her to go?
She goes, go, I got this. And that would have been Ahsoka been no, we're better together. We're stronger together.
We'll take him together this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But she's okay. And I get there is a time sensitive thing because we know that this thing is loading.
Yeah, but they
Ahsoka has no clue what they're even going into.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little weird, but
she left.
Maybe she was giving Sabine the opportunity to fail.
To try again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And she just got the wrist rockets.
Yes.
Wrist rockets to the face.
Yeah. So she gets her lightsaber knocked out, right?
Yeah. And then she pretends she's hurt. And
she tries to force push.
Yeah. And then
wrist rockets. But then Shin knows now. She's you have no power.
Yeah. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she thinks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I figured how that ends up. That do we even see how it ends up?
How that fight? Yeah, yeah. Shin disappears.
Oh, she
like throws her. She throws a smoke bomb or something.
Right, that's right. Disappears. Yeah. Because then Baylan and Ahsoka are fighting, which was a great fight.
Yep.
And some good information coming from Baylan of what he knows about Anakin.
He's informative. Pricking at her, trying to get her to.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Baylan, he even says earlier, he doesn't want to kill Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. It's a shame to kill another Jedi.
He respects her a lot.
So, you get that,
That's why he's a complicated character that I really want to know more about.
Is he good? Is he bad? Is he neither? He's just, doing this for a paycheck, honestly. Seems weird. But, so we get that fight, which was great. And Ahsoka doesn't get her second blade out. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. She's trying to grab the map. I'm girl, you got the force. Force it anywhere. Use the force and throw the map into the woods.
But maybe she couldn't use the force. Maybe it was too stuck.
Maybe. Because when she grabs it, it just burns her hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she sees Shin. Mm-hmm. And she assumes that Sabine is dead.
Yep.
And that like throws her way off and she gets kicked off the edge.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And when like Balin is like swinging his lightsaber, it's like he's swinging an axe or something. Like you just feel like it's feeling like it's like.
He's like a Claymore type lightsaber.
Yeah, he's just like going to town and she like she's like not used to that, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very power centric fighting style.
And even I noticed this in the hallway scene, and then in when Sabine comes out, oh, I forgot, Ahsoka throws Shin at this rock and just totally like knocks her out or does something to her, which was like pretty like aggressive for a Jedi.
For a second, yeah.
And then when she gets off the cliff and Sabine comes out and starts firing at Balin. Mm-hmm. Like, his moves are so calculated.
He's like,
it's like, he's not like, it just feels like he's like moving so perfectly.
It was the same in the hallway scene.
Right, right. Both times, like, he's just moving so perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not like he's like just, you know, a lot of times you just think they're just like swinging in front of him and blocking and stuff, but he's just like,
he's clearly anticipating
for each shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yes.
He's a cool character.
Yeah. And then we get, Sabine takes the map and she thinks she can shoot it.
Well, doesn't Ahsoka see her? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ahsoka sees Sabine.
Sabine and says, like, you need to, like, do what we talked about. Because I don't know if this is the last episode or the beginning of this one. She's like, we might need to
destroy
it. We might need to do what we gotta do, destroy this thing so that, you know.
It's better for nobody to find Thrawn than for us to try to find Ezra. Yeah.
And so, yeah. But Sabine can't. She can't do it.
Yeah, which
so frustrating. Yeah.
And like Balin like reads her mind almost, and he knows
what
that
she's not.
Yeah, which is felt very similar. He must
know about Ezra somehow. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I'm guessing if he knows about Thrawn, then he knows about Ezra. But yeah, it felt like it reminded me of like Vader in Return of the Jedi when he like reads Luke's mind that Luke has a sister and whatever. So I felt very similar to that. Yeah. And
we're like internally screaming at the TV for her to like do it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And so she hands over the map.
Yeah.
Like why? Like I was ready for Ahsoka to like jump back up from the cliff. Like she was just hanging on.
Pulling Obi-Wan.
Yeah, she just jumps back up and you know, steals the map again or somehow. Yeah. But
nope.
I guess with it being off of the altar long enough, it's not hot anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
So because Sabine just picks up no problem and hands it over to Balin and he uses it and then destroys it, which is crazy. It's done now.
Yep.
So unless
how are they gonna find their way there?
Unless it's burned into the palm of Ahsoka. So
think they use the Purgils?
Well, I feel like they that have must, to.
Yeah.
So I was doing a little more research. Okay, so when we go to the very end, we think Ahsoka might be dead. We know that she's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Show's called Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And she's in this area with all, she wakes up on this like walkway.
Yeah. World Between Worlds.
World Between Worlds, which I didn't know what that was. Yeah.
That's a Rebels thing.
Right. So apparently her and Ezra have been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And you can access like any place and time through it.
Yeah.
Or any place
in the Jedi. It's a real weird place.
It's a Jedi specific thing, I think.
Yeah.
Because
I think it maybe shows up in Clone Wars. I think it might.
Does it?
Like the, maybe like the Wills or, there's a planet that like.
Mortis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember it showing up,
but maybe it did.
Yeah.
That was a lot of episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah, but Ahsoka and Ezra were there because didn't he like, she was fighting Vader and I think he pulled her out of that. He like saved her life.
Right. So that's what I'd find out because I had no idea what that was. I said, this has to be something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked it up and it was called World Between Worlds. And that's what I had read. Yeah.
There's a really good, there's a great Star Wars Explained video that he does talking about what it is. That's where I get most of my info.
Yeah.
About this stuff.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
And Anakin is there. A version of Anakin.
De-aged Hayden Christensen.
Yes. Yes. Revenge of the Sith.
How did you feel about
the de-aging? It was good.
I felt like it's off. You can definitely tell that it's not real. But
it was better than the Kenobi de-aging, which I don't even think they de-aged him at all in Kenobi. Maybe they did.
No.
When he played like Padawan Anakin, I'm like, that looks like a 45-year-old Padawan. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's what he is. You know what I mean? He'll help out a couple grades. 40-year-old. I don't know how old he is. But
Yeah.
So it was better than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was more. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
but he's got his Revenge of the Sith stuff on.
Right, right.
So that's why we're like, I don't know. What? How is this? And he's not a Force ghost, I don't think.
No, yeah. The article that I had read talked about, like, they thought that maybe this is like where they Force ghosts exist when they're not ghosts in life. Like, this is kind of where they live. You know what I mean? This is the in between.
Yeah. I was also seeing something though about like, like in the world between worlds, like time, like it is in real life, quote unquote, doesn't exist. So some theories about like, this could be Anakin, like, when he, like, before he's, like, actual Anakin, like, before he's turned.
Oh.
Like, from Revenge of the Sith. Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Could be something in her mind. He doesn't even exist. But, yeah.
Yeah. So. Got a little tear in our eye when we heard him say Snips.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. It was really good to see him. Like, we knew he was going to be in here. We weren't sure how. But it's good to see him like this. It'll be interesting to see.
I really hope this isn't the only time we see him. Yeah. I hope we can get some kind of a flashback, something where we can see him and Ahsoka, you know, doing their thing.
Right. So when I was reading about the world between worlds, they're talking about this episode, of course, and they're saying like if they can go to any place in time that has to do with Jedi, they can probably find out where Ezra is through that, and maybe they can transport there through this area. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Or she does.
Right. It'll just be her.
Yeah.
Would be able to. But yeah, the Purgils would be another way.
Yeah.
If they go that way anyways.
Or maybe, well, maybe both. Maybe Ahsoka gets there that way and maybe, well, I guess Sabine's on the ship. So she's going there. But maybe who's left behind? Hu Yang and
Hera.
Hera.
Yeah.
Maybe they somehow do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Hu Yang is just on the planet by himself.
Yeah. Like, poor guy.
Yeah. He doesn't know.
It's like I told you to stay together.
Right. He doesn't have a clue what happened. And
yeah.
Yeah, if they would have stayed together, they could have won that.
They could have.
Yeah.
So yeah, fourth episode, I was all back in. I was like, okay, that was a great episode.
Oh yeah.
This is gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to watch the next one after we're done with this.
So should we watch the next
episode? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Thanks, Mike, for being here.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks everyone for listening. And hope you enjoy the next couple episodes, and we'll be back in about a month to talk about the rest of the series.
The rest of the series. Wrap it up.
Thanks for listening. Be safe. Be courteous. Bye.
Bye.
See you later, alligator.